You do them both.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Once again, it's just a wonderful joy for Pastor Hesse and myself to be able to be here to share God's word with you in this more informal way. And God bless Pastor Hesse. He kind of puts this all together, and I greatly appreciate that. And whenever we can be in the Word of God together, what an awesome time. And so let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, the Holy Bible, inerrant word, absolutely trustworthy. Lord, we pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and minds again today as we study your truth, that we may continue to grow and mature in this incredible faith that you entrust to us. Lord, may you bless this time we share together. We welcome your presence in it. In your name, we pray and trust, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, while we were in service today, Pastor, and there was so much talk about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit and how the Spirit comes to us, and that whole idea of baptism, God's Word joined with water, and to me doing the most amazing thing. If it's in an adult, they have heard the Word of God, they have come to profess. In and of themselves, we don't believe that somebody comes to faith all by themselves.
No. Nope.
They're not walking down the street and whack, they get hit with the Holy Spirit, right?
That's right.
No, it's by hearing the Word of God. And I wanna do something with you that I did years ago at a place in Denver called the Conversations of Grace. But I've got $20 here. I'm gonna hold it. I'm going to let you have it.
Boy, you're...
Well, I'll let you have it for this. If I can, I need to share with you my faith in less than 2 minutes. Think I can do it? If I can't, you get the money. Oh, you don't have a watch. This is going to be easy.
No, that'll be easy.
Ha-ha, I'll even start early.
Okay.
All right, there it goes. 2 minutes to share my faith. Well, it works like this, Pastor, that we're all sinners, that God knew that we were helpless and hopeless, and he did not want to see anybody perish. But the only person who could make it right was Jesus Christ. So God so loved the world, loved you, loved me, loved all those kids and parents, the people on the far side of the world and the bottom of the world, the top of the world, that he sent his only son, that if we would but believe, trust in what Jesus did by his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and return, that we would not perish but have eternal life. Done.
That was a minute and 20 seconds.
It was That's not. Just in it my was mind. 37 seconds, and I'm keeping the 20. Well, it's
Boy, you are brutal this
I
morning,
I am brutal
man.
Today.
Yeah.
But it's this work of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus talks about a Comforter coming. Now, didn't the apostles already have the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Well, when Jesus says he's going to send a Comforter, how do you get more Holy Spirit than Holy Spirit? How might you describe that?
You know, there's a pastor I know by the name of Pastor Hesse. Oh, that's you.
Oh, here we go.
You really, when we first met, I remember we got into this discussion, and it's always stuck with me that at Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit, it's like God turned the volume up.
Oh, I remember that discussion.
And you know, that illustration, because I never quite could put that all together, and that illustration really has helped me along the way, that God turned the volume up. So I mean, the Spirit was there at creation. God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is from everlasting in the past. God has always existed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So yes, the prophets of the Old Testament, the church of the Old Testament had the Spirit. The apostles had the Spirit. But like you have shared, it's like Pentecost. Wow, the volume gets turned up.
Well, but you have impressed on me the idea of faith comes by hearing. And of course, you know, I've worked with the deaf, and it can be by signing or for someone who has to read it in Braille, or that's why churches are so important and Bible studies are so important. Faith comes by hearing. And you remember the Bereans, you and I have talked a lot about this, that they would go home every day after listening to Paul and they would pore over the scriptures to make sure what Paul was teaching was correct. And I know you had elders, and when I was a pastor, I had elders of the church, and their job is to make sure that pastor's right on the money. But that's why we have to have the Bible. That's why we have to have, you know, God's word. And we are different than many churches today. There are many churches, as you have shared with me, they have the Bible, yes, and they will say it contains the word of God.
Ah, contains. Yeah, be careful with that one. You know what? In our Lutheran confessions, we boldly confess that the Bible is the Word of God. And somebody says, is, contains, doesn't that mean the same thing? It's very, very different. Is means in its completeness, it's the Word of God. Contains, that opens the door that as you read Scripture, that there's some things in here that didn't come from God. Maybe they were just the opinion of Paul or one of the other apostles or whatever. Well, that gets into dangerous territory, because then who's going to determine, Pastor Hesse, okay, this is definitely God's word, but, you know, there's something that kind of pricks at my conscience. I don't like what God says or Paul says, so maybe that really isn't the word of God.
Well, it's kind of like, did God give us the 10 suggestions? No.
No.
He gave us the 10 commandments. And he did that not to make our lives less than. I remember when I was a young man in my late teens and early 20s, it was like, oh, you just want to take away all the fun. And no, God has given us these commandments and the forgiveness when we do break a commandment. And we come and we confess our sin, our shortcoming, and we're forgiven. And then God's Holy Spirit poured out generously upon us in baptism. We're saved by a washing or rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit. You know, whether it's the youngest baby, which to me is just, you know, some people say babies can't have faith. Well, babies are God's miracle from the very beginning. And God, if anybody could work faith in a baby, who would it be? Me? Not a chance. God? Nothing's impossible with God.
And think about those clear little minds and hearts. They're not perfect. They have original sin. But they haven't been polluted.
Well,
wait.
Yeah. Stop. You're saying that babies are sinful?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How do we know babies are sinful?
God clearly reveals it in his word, inerrant word, so it's trustworthy. Yeah.
With sin comes death. Only Jesus Christ is the only person to ever have been born sinless. And he didn't die, he laid down his life. But for the rest of us, whether it's the baby that's a week old or the person who's 101, you know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's proved to us because we die. And, you know, we live in an era right now within the last, say, 7,500 years where people are not seeing a lot of death in children. But go back 150 years, 200, 300 years, so many children would die, you know, early on in infancy, and even making it to five was a great undertaking. But God had said, wait a minute, I'm going to provide a way that you will know your children are safe. You bring them, you have them baptized. Yes, parents, it's your job to bring them up in this faith. But God has found a way that all children and will know, we will know that if anything happens to that baby, this just happened to me, Pastor, it's coming up to my mind. Huh. I was out at the hospital, I had to go in for a test, and I'm sitting there and this lady walks out and she's got this little bitty infant carrier. I figured it was an infant, not a sandwich, because it was crying. And I said, oh, how old's your baby? And she said, oh, just a few days old. And I said, that's wonderful. Have you thought about baptizing him? And the lady stopped, and she turned around and looked at me. And she said, well, no. And I said, oh, in baptism, God writes the little one's name in the Lamb's Book of Life, pours the Holy Spirit out, brings them into the family of God, just blessing after blessing. And she said, I was raised Catholic. All that teaching's coming back. And I said, well, if you would like to talk more, and I gave her a card and told her about the church, told her all about you and your sermons. Oh, my goodness, you're on fire. But going back to the Holy Spirit, and it says here in John chapter 14, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay, we all know we fall short there, but God does forgive us and seeks to help us amend our sinful lives. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as an orphan.
Spirit of Truth.
Those disciples had the Holy Spirit. You said in your sermon, Pete, did I just lose my mic?
I think you did.
Oh, no, it's still there.
You're good.
Mic trouble again. But Peter said, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Jesus said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a bold confession that the world cannot make. Nobody can say, Jesus is Lord, and truly mean it, unless it is from the heart. But apart from the work of God, we would never do that. But God wants us to come to faith. So he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us his inerrant word. Well, I think we're probably coming up. How's our time doing there, guys? How much? Oh, we still got more time. This is great. When you talk about the Bible, Pastor, and being inerrant, and this is God's Word, all there to create faith, real faith, and how can we trust the Bible? It says in 2 Peter, Chapter 1, I believe it is, chapter 1, verse 16. I'm reading from the NIV Bible. We do not follow cleverly invented stories. When I hear that, cleverly invented stories, or I've read many of the books of other faiths, not other denominations. I'm talking, you talked about outside of Christianity. I've read their books. And many of them, well, they have snippets of Christianity in them, things they've heard. Muhammad was famous for that. He called the Jews and the Christians the people of the book, and he had heard bits and pieces. If you didn't get it from God, who did you get it from? The only other person is either a sinful person or Satan himself. But listen to what God says through Peter. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And Peter writes, we ourselves have heard the voice and that came from heaven when we were there with him on that sacred mountain. The word of God, it was the apostles were able to, it says in John 16:4, yep, to still be in John, or did you go somewhere else?
I went somewhere else, but you go,
go ahead.
Because I was going to look up a passage as you were moving.
All right, you do that. I'm going to look up John chapter 16, verse 14, and reading again in the NIV. And it says, we're talking about this Spirit of Truth. I'll back up to verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, Jesus says. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So the disciples were able to remember all that, imagine 3 years with Jesus, all those things that Jesus said, the stories, the miracles, the conversations around the fire at night, or as they're working in the daytime, all of this brought to mind that they can then commit it to writing and share it with all the generations to come.
God used their personalities, their language. I understand that the Apostle John had a very limited vocabulary compared to the Apostle Paul,
who
probably had like a doctorate degree of the age. But maybe in kind of wrapping this up, back to 2 Peter, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so, kind of where we began, Pastor Hesse, the inerrant Word of God, the Bible is or contains that. And if you go with contains visually, you know what happens? God is down here. The Bible is in between, and I'm here. And I'm saying, God, this is your word, and God, this portion isn't your word. Is there something wrong with this picture?
I think you got it backwards.
Yeah.
Shouldn't God be up here?
So, God spoke. He's preserved this word for us. It's absolutely trustworthy and true, and we are the ones who are submissive to it.
And we're looking up.
Yeah.
And I must stress to everybody, we're looking forward, and I know this is throughout the Christian church. Throughout, I've seen, you know, a lot of videos that pastors are putting out. But that time to worship together, when we can come back together, it is so important that we do. Because the body of Christ looks after each other. Back in the corner where I sit in the church, that's what I call that my holy huddle. And if somebody's missing, we call each other. We look after each other. And I know they do the same thing over here and back there. And pastors always encouraging us to look after the sheep. Pastors can't sometimes chase them all down or know where every one of them is. And he needs our help. But we need to be here as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Let's pray.
Oh, dear Lord God, we thank you by your grace, by dear Holy Spirit, you intervening in our lives and changing our hearts from unbelief to faith, that we can be part of your family. And Lord, we pray for everyone in our church family at Trinity. We pray for other church families as well, going through the same type of circumstances we are. Lord, we pray indeed, that day for us physically to be together will be very soon. We need one another. And Lord, you designed your church in this way. Lord, we plead your intervention and your blessings. Most of all, we ask your will to be done. And all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.